Deuteronomy chapter 31 makes it very clear and plain to us that God's servant Moses is now an old man. He has served his Lord faithfully over the years, but he's coming towards the end of life's journey. But God has raised up a worthy successor called Joshua to carry on that good work, to remain faithful to his master and to the people accordingly. And so in this chapter, the death of God's servant Moses is clearly anticipated. We have to remember here that Joshua was named as successor. Joshua was to carry on after Moses would pass away. But Moses was very aware of the situation. He knew his time of departure was coming soon, and so he encourages the people in their faith. Even though he himself is getting older and weaker and death around the corner for him, he's encouraging the people to keep on being faithful, keep on being true to your master. Friends, that's realistic here this morning. There's all. But especially for a certain number in the congregation, myself included, we're getting older. We're not as able as once we were. We're aware of bodily weakness. We're aware of the pains of the flesh. We know from our own point of view, the end cannot be far away. And so, while there's a message here for us all this morning, and there's a special message for those especially who are a particular age group, as we are conscious of our own frailty, and only to be looking to the Lord for more and more strength and more help. And so in chapter 31, which we read together partly this morning, in verses 7 and 8, God is giving his full approval to Joshua. Joshua is not only to assume responsibility, but also an enormous privilege. And in all cases of leadership, the greater the privilege, the greater responsibility. Joshua, more than others, would need the strength and courage required to fulfill his tasks and to fulfill the future with his God. And members of the congregation, this is what we need to hear this morning. As we too face the future, where the future holds for us, to face it confidently, assured of God's presence and God's help. Now, of course, this morning, we're all human. We're all prone to fears and concerns. We often end up asking ourselves the question, if this happens, if that happens, what will take place? And we sometimes can blind ourselves with all these fears. But Joshua here has been told not to be fearful. Not to be fearful. But to keep on trusting. Indeed, Moses here is coming towards the end of his life too. Moses is saying here to Joshua, he's reminding Joshua that God is bigger than any fear he may have to face. God is bigger than any fear he may have to face. And friends, there is something worthwhile remembering this morning. If you remember nothing else this morning, remember that. Whatever your fear or fears may be this morning, whatever you're thinking of for the future, God, your Lord, the one you love, the one you depend upon, he is much bigger, much more mightier than any fears you may have in your heart in this day. Isn't that reassuring? You may think to yourself, my fears are great, my fears are very big. They're not as big as your God and what your God can do for you. We trust our God. give to us the strength, the courage and help to face the future. Moving in now to the text set before us this morning. If you're taking notes, I have three main points to be made this morning. We see here, first of all, verse 7, the Lord's courage is given. The Lord's courage is given. It's not man's courage, but this courage which God, the Lord, gives to his own believing people. Verse 7 reads, be strong and courageous, for you must go with his people into the land. Verse 8b, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. The words of God the Lord to his servant. Don't be fearful. And that's God's word to you and to me this morning. On this dull, damp south morning, the Lord God's drawing near this morning to you and to me, and he's saying to us, be courageous. Be courageous for my name's sake. We have to remind ourselves, of course, that Joshua was just an ordinary individual. An ordinary person, an ordinary man. True, Joshua had been called high office leadership. But at the end of the day, he was still a human being. As such, like ourselves, Joshua was prone to fears, discouragements, anticipations of the future. And this is why the Lord's directive has been given here at this stage to him. He says to Joshua, do not be afraid. I'll give you the courage which you require. Do not be afraid. I'll give you the courage which you require. And my friends gathered here and noticed this morning, is this not a timely message for us all today? A timely word for us all. Don't be afraid, God's saying to us this morning. Don't be afraid. I'll give you the courage you require to face the future with me. Perhaps someone in our family circle, does not like the high standards by which we live our lives. We are known of men and women, young people of principle and of Christian principle. But there are others in the family or family circle that have got to a stage in their lives and not appreciate the standard we take, the standard which we take to serve our Lord. They make opposition very apparent. They mock us. They don't know our standards. They make fun of what we stand for. And that does happen, friends. That does happen today, even in families and wider family circles. If that be your situation this morning, there's someone in your wider family circle who does not appreciate your standards by which you live your life, your appreciation of God and his word, I'm here to say to you today, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of them. Look to the Lord for help. He'll give you the strength that you require as you remain faithful and true for his name's sake. God is here saying this morning, I'll give you the courage required for all the burdens you must carry. You see, you've got to remember here, Joshua has been called upon to fulfill a very important role. But Joshua has also been called upon to carry many, many heavy burdens. And God's people, the people of Israel, have forsaken God. They've turned their backs upon God. And so Joshua here has been called upon to encourage them back in a godward direction. But they, as part of the Israelite family, mocked and jeered all that Joshua believed and stood for. Joshua had courage to take a stand, to present the truth to these people. And so the Lord is saying to him, I will give you the courage. I give you the courage. The same can be said about all this morning. Perhaps in your place of employment, where you're working, very thankful for your job, working happily in contentment, but there are other godless individuals who are working with you. And those godless individuals have no time for the faith that you have. You made it very clear and plain to them, you love, you're a Christian, you love the Lord for yourself, but there's no time for the Almighty, no time for Christ, no time for you and your standards. This may happen in the office, in the school, factory floor, the shop, where it might be. And we're living in an age today when people are no longer scared or timid about making the opposition known. They make it very clear and plain. There's no time for the standards you and I have of Christian morality and love for the Saviour. I know of a younger woman who in her work in the office, because the language is so bad and so vile, she woke up very fortunately and said she didn't appreciate that, and asked those in the office would they mind muttering their language. She wasn't listened to. It was almost as if even further still in their use of bad language to annoy her. That young lady, in talking to me, all I could say to her was, maintain your faith. Keep on being courageous for your Lord and your Master. I recognised friends 40, 50 years ago, that would not have risen to the same extent. If someone had been spoken about bad language, then it would be the curtail their language. That is not the case today. Whenever you put your head above the parapet, speaking at all, people do all they can to annoy you even further, becoming more extreme in their godless conduct and godless language. And so we all need to have courage. To have courage to move forward with our Lord, to fulfill all that the Lord expects of us, and to remain faithful and true to Him. Courage can also be required if we are called upon to face such things as a sickness. And what home is there not that sickness comes to sooner or later? Perhaps even leading to death itself. Yes, life for us all is frail. Life is uncertain. Hardly a day passes, but we learn of a death of someone that we've known of or known of indirectly in the past. Life is uncertain. And because that is the case, friends, again, we need courage. Courage in our Lord. Courage in our God. Trusting Him and saying to our Lord and God, no matter what lies before me or lies before you, I'll hold on to you, I'll depend upon you, I will trust in you for all things. When that's our approach to God, when that's our faith in the Lord Himself, then as Christians we're assured the Lord will be there to help us. He'll be our friend, our companion along the way. We're going to be singing it on this morning, Psalm 112. Let me quote to you the words of verse 7 of that psalm just now in the context of what I'm saying to you today concerning the future, concerning sickness, even death. Psalm 112 and verse 7 reads, concerning the child of God, he will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast. trusting the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. I find those words immensely reassuring. We all dread the thought of receiving bad news. Bad news concerning our own health or perhaps the health of a loved one. But again, being told here this morning, there's no need to be afraid. Don't be afraid. When such a situation develops, such news comes our way, don't be afraid. Your heart's steadfast in the Lord. Keep on trusting Him, knowing He's there for you. The Lord's courage is given. So in a variety of situations of life, in employment, work situation, health-wise, whatever it might be, the Lord comes to us this morning and says, I will give to you the courage to face tomorrow. Then secondly, the Lord's commissioning is received. The Lord's commissioning is received. Again, Moses is speaking here, God speaking through Moses to Joshua is here saying in verse 7b, we must go with this people into the land the Lord has sworn to their forefathers to give them. You must divide it among them as their inheritance. Verse 7b. You see, at this stage, Joshua has not only been given an important position and honor, but at this point, Joshua has been commissioned. Commissioned by God to fulfill a certain task, to fulfill a certain God-given role as led the children of Israel accordingly. He was responsible for all this work, to legislate, to direct, and to guide this vast whole of people in the promised land. In so doing, he would confront two kinds of enemies. But first of all, there would be external enemies. On their journey to and arrive at the promised land, the surrounding nations rise up in opposition. In like, the people coming, people of the land, and so wars were declared. Many battles had to be fought. There were external enemies doing all they could to harm God's cause and to harm God's people. You and I have external enemies too in our lives. Those who do all they can to harm our witness and our testimony for our Lord, do all they can to mar the Christian message and the Church of Christ. Then Joshua also confront internal enemies. On their journey, that's when the people arrived in the promised land. The ground had to be divided up into the various land masses for the various tribes. Joshua also had this responsibility thrust upon him. That was part of his commissioning, to divide the land among the people. We're told in Joshua chapter 13 and verse 6, be sure to allocate this land to Israel for inheritance. And friends, no doubt, in so doing, this has brought many disagreements among the people concerning the allocation of land. Human nature being what it was, no doubt there was much opposition, as well as that much discouragement, dissatisfaction for the land we're getting. Perhaps some wanting more than others. Don't know, but I'm quite sure a lot of discouragements for Joshua. External enemies and internal enemies. Again, for ourselves, friends, we too have internal enemies. The greatest enemy of all is Satan himself, as he endeavors to ensnare us, to distract us, history, we are being continually called upon to wage a battle for our Lord as we have tried to overcome the various temptations which come our way in life. Whether those temptations are external or internal, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's all the same. The devil is trying to overcome us. To mar our walk with God and our fellowship with our Lord and our Master. However, for us the assurance is this. When temptations come our way, and we certainly do come our way continually, then we promise to aid the Holy Spirit to his victory, to enable us to move forward with him. The Holy Spirit is there to help us to live more obedient lives for our Lord and Master. Once again, I leave another verse of scripture for you, which I find reassuring. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he also provides a way so that you can stand up under it. How reassuring that text is. You and I continually are being tempted. Temptations cross our pathway continually. We know just how busy the devil is in our lives. Yet here in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, we have the promise, the assurance, the Lord will help us overcome these temptations and remain faithful and true to him. However, the point is this. Joshua is being commissioned by the Lord to fulfill the role to the people of Israel wisely. Likewise for ourselves. The Lord has commissioned you and me day by day to live for him and to serve him. And then thirdly and finally, you see here, the Lord's companionship is assured. The Lord's companionship is assured. Look now to verse 8. There we are told, the Lord himself goes before. Can I remind you, friends, here? Remind you. Here's this vast horde of people going to a new area of ground, new lands, uncertain what lay before them. And there comes the word, Lord's word to them. Verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you. He will be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. My, how those words must have brought great security and help to God's people. Going to a strange land, everything was new to them. Nevertheless, been assured of the Lord's presence always with them, helping them in the way. And of course, under such a heavy burden of responsibility, Joshua, like any other man, could have felt so weighed down as to give up wherever he started. But once again, we see how the Lord God drew near and gave the assurance to Joshua of his presence and of his help. This is the same companionship which we as Christian people today have, as the Lord also assures us of his presence. You and I do not face the future alone. We don't face the future alone. If you, like myself this morning, can truly say before God, Lord, I'm trusting you, whatever crosses my path in your life, I'm still trusting you, then you, like myself, can say also today, we don't face the future on our own. We face our future in confidence with our Lord by our side. This is the same companionship which we as Christian people have. We are assured that we do not go out into life on our own. Our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, is always with us. He will not forsake us. He will not let us down. He's with us in the past. He's with us in the future. Yes, we're living in an age of change, of uncertainty, confusion, See, all around us these days especially, but still reminded, the Lord's always there for us. The Lord is always there for us. My friends, you either believe that or you don't. If you don't believe that, well, I just feel sorry for you this morning. Genuinely sorry for you. But if you do believe that, the Lord is always with you, then you and I this morning, with a smile on our faces, rejoice. Rejoice in this guarantee. We're never left alone. The Lord is always there to help us in life's journey. God's servant Job cried in distress in Job chapter 19 and verse 14. Job said, "My kinsmen have gone away. My friends have forgotten me." Job felt distressed because of his own. The psalmist exclaimed in Psalm 73 and verse 26, "My flesh and my heart will fail me." All these references can make us more morose, downhearted, if we're up to the fact that God has also promised us, his children, his constant companionship along this way. This is a promise which Joshua had been given. This is a promise which holds true for us today. The Lord's presence in any or in every situation. This is a promise from our Lord. And in it, the Christian's future is always as bright as the promises of God. Have we got that? The Christian's future is always as bright as the promises of God. We then lay hold upon those promises of God, holding on to them, steadfastly holding on, trusting in them, and looking to the future with great confidence in him. The godly Puritan Simon Rutherford was sentenced to imprisonment in Aberdeen. He was imprisoned because of his loyalty to his Lord and Master. And for him, the imprisonment was not a pleasant experience. His place of confinement was a dirty, filthy hole. No comforts. Nothing nice for him there. But during his imprisonment, Rutherford, writing to a friend, said the following: "The Lord is with me. I don't care what man can do. No person is better provided for than I am. My chains are even gilded with gold. No pen, no words, nothing can express the beauty of Christ at this time." A man of God in the most dire of situations, last rock, east coast of Scotland there. They're in a situation of sheer misery. No comforts, no human joys. But for him, his joy lay in the beauty of Christ and Christ's presence with him in those adverse circumstances. The assurance of the presence of God. As the Bishop of Rochester came out of the prison cell in the Tower of London, saw a scaffold awaiting him. This particular bishop had been faithful and true to God and his word, and so death awaited him. He was to be beheaded. And just before that event took place, that godly bishop quoted John 16, verse 32. That's what he said. "Alone, I'm not alone." Then he continued on by saying, "Praise God, praise God. He is sufficient for me. Friends, can you tell a situation? A man of God, the servant's there, is he beside him? When he acts, one of the times when he's had, but he's not scared, he's not fearful, he's simply trusting his Lord and assured the companionship of his God with him at all times. Friends, do you ever feel lonely? Do you ever feel you've been forgotten only by your nearest and dearest? Do you ever sometimes allow doubts to so fill your heart? If that should be your situation, then claim this wonderful promise yourselves this morning. The promise is this. The Lord, He it is who goes before you. He will be with you. You see, friends, with Christ as your Savior, with God as your Heavenly Father, the indwelling Holy Spirit as your guide, then you and I are never alone. You and I have no need to be afraid. We simply move forward confidently with our Master. More than that, no enemy can come so near that God the Lord is not near still to us in our various situations of life. Take this sermon home with you today. Give it some thought this afternoon. Above all, as God's children, be reassured by the certainty that you have in knowing that regardless of what you've got to face today into the future, your loving Heavenly Father will not forsake you and always be there for you at all times. Let's be standing in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is full of comfort for our hearts. Lord, you know our situation. We who are believers oftentimes doubt you. Oftentimes, our Lord and God, we fail to believe what your word says to us. Oftentimes, Lord God, we allow foolishness to enshrine our very bodies. Lord God, we're very foolish when we fail to appreciate that you have promised not to leave us nor forsake us. Help us then, Lord, to step forward confidently with you day by day. And Lord God, the going gets hard. Just to know that your promises hold true. And the guarantee is there for us. That you're there to help us and to assist us. We thank you, our Lord and God, for meditation upon your word this morning. May your word be a great comfort to our hearts. Remembering too, Lord God, the evening service tonight too. Praying, Lord God, for your servant Ian Morrison as he comes into the congregation here. Bless him too. I see this evening proclaiming your word. Do hear us, Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen.